I'm Chloe Rico. I'm in a RARE, which means Resource Assistance for Rural Environments, AmeriCorps. And I work with 10 Rivers Food Web here, and I'm doing a Lincoln County Community Food Assessment.
My name is Belinda Udelman, and I'm also an AmeriCorps with the VISTA program, and I'm with the Commission on Children and Families. And I work on hunger relief programs, and we'll also be doing a community garden assessment and school garden assessment.
I just wanted to explain before we went into some of the hunger numbers what a community food assessment is. And so kind of the goal with the Lincoln County Community Food Assessment is to look at the whole picture of food from production, our agriculture and fisheries, to how consumers access food, both through normal means and through emergency food means. And so the top is an explanation of kind of the goal for a food assessment. It produces a report by the end of the AmeriCorps year, but it also involves kind of this collaboratory process of getting people in our county involved in this discussion about what they want to see happen. And then below is some of the parts of our food system, which these are all kind of contribute to how people access food and how it gets out to the rest of it and how it's produced. And those are really important parts of the food assessment and how we can strengthen our food security here in the region.
So I'm going to give you all a kind of brief overview of hunger relief programs in the county, and I'll start with the federal assistance programs and then go on to some local community efforts. So the first thing is SNAP, which is the new food stamps and supplemental nutrition assistance programs. And as you can see, in 2008, about 16% of our county used this program. And in 2009, this increased to 19%. And the great thing about these federal programs is that they bring federal dollars into the local economy. So in 2009, we received about $13.5 million federal dollars. And there's an additional about 2,500 community residents that are eligible for SNAP but are not currently enrolled. And if these participants were enrolled, then that'd bring an additional $2 million into the economy. So the next program is the National School Lunch Program, which is run through the USDA and provides free and reduced price lunches to students who qualify. So this is kind of an overview of the last few years of participation in the and eligibility in the county. So you can see it kind of in its eligibility and eligibility has been increasing from in 2008, 2009, and 2010, and then this past year we actually saw quite a bit of a drop. But participation in these programs, unfortunately, has kind of been steadily declining, although this year was also a bit of a bump up. So I'm still researching exactly why these kind of decreases and increases have been happening. I've just started acquiring all this data and working on the information, so I'll probably start talking to the schools to see what we can do to try and increase participation rates. And then the other USDA program is the After School Meal and Snack Program, which is also used here in the county. And in 2009-2010 school year, there were about 8,700 suppers served, which was another 25,000 federal dollars that came into the economy here. And then the Summer Meal Program, you can see kind of the data from the past few years to now. We started off with a pretty small program, but have been growing with a lot more sponsors, and the sites have kind of been wavering. And this summer will be particularly interesting because some of the major summer meal sites are provided by the 21st Century After School Program, and in most of the county, that grant will be ending. So Chloe and I have been working to try and get more sites to participate, just to get more kids eating lunch in the summer, because as you can see, the participation rates for those kids who are eligible for free lunches and likely really need these meals, it's not super high in this county, which is pretty common in a rural environment, but I would really like to see higher participation. And then homelessness, just to highlight that 8% of the students last year were homeless. So they're probably a very vulnerable population for food insecurity. And Chloe and I have been working with Katie Townsend with the school district's Homeless Education and Literacy Project. And we're gonna try and talk to some of these kids and just figure out how exactly they are accessing food and what we can do to try and increase their access.
I have a good question related to that.
Yeah.
What do you qualify as homeless? and a student? Where, how do you draw that line?
There is the McKinney-Bento Act. I believe, I'm not quietly familiar on this, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, because what do you consider a homeless child? Is that one that completely has no housing, or?
It's an interesting question, because even agencies of the federal government do not agree. HUD has a pretty narrow definition, which basically says you literally have to be sleeping outside or in a vehicle or something that's not a shelter of any kind to be considered homeless. Well, the McKinney-Bento Act, the act which governs the Federal Education Department's homeless policy, does take a broader definition there. If you're, they say, if you're living in a motel, doubled up with friends or relatives, you know, sleeping in on the couch, you're considered homeless. And their justification for that, you know, there has been some controversy related to that, but they say they can pretty clearly document that those children have more physical health issues, mental health issues, more trouble succeeding in school because it's an unstable housing situation.
Thank you. That answers my question, because I know it's a controversy, mm-hmm. what is considered homeless, and then you explained it, I think, as good as you explained.
Thank you. So the federal programs essentially are just national-wide programs, but unfortunately, because a lot of them are tied to schools, they only run with when schools are running. So this leaves a lot of kids without food over the weekends, which is where the food backpack programs come in. And if you're not familiar, those programs essentially provide a regular backpack to kids on Fridays, the day before the weekend, and it's filled with food that's easy for them to prepare. And then they take it home, they have food for the weekend, they bring it back on Monday or Tuesday, and then volunteers pick it up, refill it, and the process continues. So that program has been running for quite a few years here in Lincoln County. Up in Lincoln City, there's 180 students participating, down in Newport, 75, and then over in East County, we've just started a program there, and we already have 56 participating. You can see the breakdown between Toledo and Siletz. And for all of these programs, there are waiting lists, but you know, we can't, not all students can be enrolled yet just because these programs do cost money to run, so there is a limit. But clearly there is a need for more kids to be on these programs. And I think it's really interesting with the backpack programs, or really inspiring rather, is that these are all run by local community members. It's parents or school staff who've really stepped up and seen a need that there are still hungry children, and they've stepped up to try and take care of this problem. And then also we have some food share numbers. I apologize that they're not on the slide. So for food share distribution for 2010, 1,553 total families received an emergency food box, and this is up from 1,257 in 2007. And then for total people, the numbers are slightly higher. In 2007, 2,780 people received a food box. And in 2010, this number was up to 2,880. And if you want the pound information, I have that as well. So we're seeing an increase in participants in the local food share pantries as well. And I also just wanted to mention that starting on April 3rd, I'll be putting on a display on the lawn of City Hall. So for those of you who are kind of more visually inclined to see a lot of the statistics I gave, there'll be a display kind of out of flag so people can see what these numbers really look like.
So I wanted to give you guys a little bit of context about the community food assessments. It's been a partnership between the RARE program that I mentioned earlier and the Oregon Food Bank. And they've been doing this throughout the state of Oregon for the past 3 years. Last year I got to work out in Malheur County on these type of assessments, and funding came through this year for Lincoln County. And so kind of the reason why Oregon Food Bank has been supporting them is because it kind of looks at hunger and its root causes. You know, why people are hungry, or why there isn't necessarily access to food that comes from our area. And so that's why Belinda and I have gotten to partner and work together this year, because she does cover these hunger issues in our area, and we want to make sure we highlight them. So as I as we showed earlier, I'm going to kind of set this up as part of the breakdown of how our food system is. So I put up some numbers here about production in our area, and this is kind of the base that we're starting at. And the people that have been involved in this food assessment are really trying to build up what is available here. And so what you can see is that about 0.2% of the food dollar in the area goes to those direct to consumer kind of relationships, where the farm is and their food is being sold directly to you and I. And so it's a small percentage of what happens here and how people access food, but we want to try and increase that and that number, because of the economic development that comes in with doing that. And also, our farms here, really, this is their base, and I think there's a lot of potential to grow and to see what is possible. But there are some needs in order to make those production numbers higher. We're very fortunate to have the farmers that exist in our area are very passionate about what they do. But for the most part, they have to have off-farm income in order to really make ends meet. And though there are quite a few who are trying through very many different means, either CSA models and selling to restaurants, participating in farmers markets and having a farm stand, they're doing all of these things in order to try and increase their market. But there is some need for processing, for extended season possibilities, like having a greenhouse or hoop houses, and also access to new markets. So potentially new store sales and an indoor market for the year would be some of the things that farmers have mentioned would be really helpful in making more of an impact and having more access to their food, and then having them then in turn have the ability to grow their business. So, and I also listed the fish landings, and one part is incorporating the fisheries into this local food discussion. I've worked very closely with Jeff Feldner here at the Extension Sea Grant to kind of continue this conversation and see what's possible, because there's so much potential there. You know, they're really interested in the community-supported fisheries models and seeing what can happen with that, and he's done some test markets in Portland, and then also supporting some of those small processing facilities for fisheries, and getting a cold storage too would be really important for not only the fishermen but also our local farmers to keep their products for longer and, again, kind of extend that season, so it's really possible to make a living for doing that. So our next slide, I touched on this briefly. Some of the things above are some of the processing assets we actually have here. So we have a custom cut and mobile slaughter, that's the Oregon Coastal Cutters down in South Beach. And that's really increased the potential for local meat producers, both beef and lamb and goat. And they that makes it really great, so someone can buy, you know, part of a cattle or part of a lamb or goat and then have it processed by them. So that makes that connection between the consumer and the farmer that much closer, because before they were having to ship that out to the valley area to get that done. We also have a couple of small community kitchens that some farmers use to make value-added products. And some of the businesses listed here, there's obviously the canned and frozen fish, jams and jellies, and we have one farmer who has a poultry processing, Walker Farms in Sillette. And there's a lot of people that also do breads and baked goods too. And then, as I mentioned, some of the needs to make this kind of increase our food system security would be cold storage and then more processing facilities for all of these farmers and producers to make their products more available. So, and then another focus of the assessment is kind of the distribution and consumption side, which Belinda definitely touched on a little bit. When we think of hunger numbers, those exist because people don't have that ability to connect to their food in the same way. Either they don't have the money to get everything that they need, or things aren't available in their area. So it's kind of a combination of studying these things. We actually put together a survey that has gone out with the Housing Authority here. All of their residents filled it out, and we're collating the data now. And we're also handing it out to other kind of community groups and things like that. And it's to find out really how people are accessing food. Some of the areas in our county don't have a store in their area, and that makes you very food insecure. Food insecurity is described as defined as 10 miles or more away from your food source. So that definitely exists in our county, East County, North County, and some places in South County. And so not only is it just access to local food, but access to food in general. So that's some of the things we're trying to think about. And so I listed some of the ways that we distribute food here, especially in that direct to consumer relationship, and that's through our farmers markets, which there's really great. The second oldest farmers market in the state is right here in Newport, and restaurants. The extension office here really supported connecting the local restaurants, since we have this great tourism industry, to our food, to our local farmers and fisheries, to kind of highlight that food and then share it with the people that are coming into our area. And then we have a couple of local stores, like the Thriftway here, that purchase from our local farmers and kind of value-added producers. There's a few farms that have farm stands, but that's not very common here. And then, of course, the sales directly from the boat, too. And so some of the needs in this area, there is a lot of demand for food from our area, but there isn't as much ability to access it, especially for the whole year. So since we live in a fairly mild climate, it's not too hard to grow certain things for most of the year here if you have the right materials and tools, but also you need to have kind of that ability to do it. And so an indoor market or more access to retail, I think, would really increase that possibility for our local producers. And then there's many people who are interested in CSA, which is the community-supported agriculture and community-supported fisheries models, too, as a way to make this more of a possibility. And then, as Belinda touched on a little bit, we also want to increase the availability of this food, this really healthy food, to all in our community, not just those that have higher incomes, because this food tends to be more expensive since you're paying for the real cost of it. And so that's EBT access at all farmers markets, which are the machines to run the SNAP cards, the Oregon Trail cards. And then other people like Food Share of Lincoln County, they are working now with Walker Farms to purchase some of their food for the pantry distribution. So that's a really great program. And there's a couple other farmers that are trying to get grants to make their food more affordable and available. And then, of course, there's some markets here that are interested in SNAP incentive programs, ones that already have EBT machines at their market, to encourage people with those cards to come to the market and use it. And so what that is a match for dollars. So if I come and use my Oregon Trail card at the market and spend $6, I can get six additional dollars to have $12 total to spend there. So that really encourages people to see that the market is a real place to get food. It's not so expensive. It makes it more affordable, and it's a really great way to increase numbers for all markets too. And then another really big part of our food system here is the great organizations that are trying to connect people to their food and make healthy food more available. So that's the Community and School Gardens. There's a really strong program through Master Gardeners who've helped start a lot, and through more school gardens that are happening. And then youth programming, where they incorporate food education, gardening, healthy nutrition, and farm visits in their actual program. So the Yahats Youth and Families program does that down in South County, and Neighborhood for Kids is another good example. There's some really great local organizations. The first one is through the Extension Office, and that's Lincoln County Foods, and they have a real good list of all of our farms and their availability by local Lincoln County. They also feature many in our area, and the Lincoln County Foods Group, which was started through the Extension Service, is a community member group that has started meeting regularly to kind of help talk about these issues. And then, of course, the educational programming that exists through many different organizations. And finally, the other part that I touched on through this whole assessment work that is ongoing, is getting people involved and hearing kind of their input. And so what that means is really getting to know what people see as the assets in our community, but then also what the needs are in regards to food. And so one way we're doing this is actually hosting an upcoming event. It's the Lincoln County Community Feast. And it's on Saturday, April 2nd from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the OCC campus here in Newport. In the community room, and I would like to invite all of you to attend if you're interested. And really the focus of the day is going to be getting all of our stakeholders in the same room. So people who have and want to see things happen in regards to food. So some of the things that I mentioned will be really one of the topics of discussion. So like an indoor market, or increasing possibilities for farmers through different models of getting their food out, and also increasing that affordability of food in our area for all. And so how the day is set up is we're gonna have a local picture panel in the morning, and it's actually gonna have some really great speakers kind of talking about the range of programs that I mentioned. Some of the highlights are we're gonna have Cheryl Shriver from the Sletz Valley School. She started a school, farm to school program there, and also incorporates a lot of fresh food into her lunch program and through some of these summer meal and feeding programs that exist, which are a really great example of what you can do. Randy Walker from Walker Farms will be there speaking, and so will Jeff Feldner, amongst others. And then we're going to have a visioning process where we're going to talk about what people want to see in our community in regards to food. So as some of those programs that I mentioned, I think, will come up. And then finally, we're going to have breakout sessions around these different ideas to make action plans to see what is the potential and what can happen, and what next steps need to be taken. And then also free lunch for everyone, featuring some of the great things that come from here. So thank you.
Impressive. A lot of information here to absorb.
Yeah,
can we get copies of this PowerPoint, maybe?
Absolutely.
Would appreciate that. Just look forward to seeing more information as the project evolves.
My backyard garden, the last 3 years, I've had, I think, 3 ripe tomatoes. So I obviously don't know exactly what I'm doing, or the weather isn't cooperating. But
why carry your cold?
So you know, a part of this is that, you know, we are the smallest agricultural county in the state.
Absolutely.
And now, if you add in trees, or include, as Commissioner Thompson would, fish as an agriculture product, then we of course would be much much larger. But I'm a regular patron of the farmers market. I know many of the food providers don't come from Lincoln County. They come from the valley. That doesn't make their product any worse, but certainly we're regular users of the farmers market. We have, as a board, at least once, maybe twice, given funds to the port to do a feasibility study, and I don't know if you have the results of that, or you've talked with Don Mann or others at the port, but to do a fisherman's market on the bayfront port property. And I know at one point they even had some conceptual plans of what that might look like and where it might be and that kind of thing. I've always thought that that would be a great idea, where you could basically buy product directly from the boat. Now you can do that, but it's maybe not as convenient or known by a lot of folks who have to go down the docks and find fishers who are selling their product, whatever that might be. But I still think that would be an excellent idea, and maybe you incorporate some of the agricultural farmers into that project and make it go. So I would encourage you to contact the port and talk to them about that.
Good, thank you.
Actually, Heather Mann is the person who did the study, and if you contacted her, she'd be a good one. But
one of the problems that's here is you saw the numbers.
Right.
Food-wise, we're huge in fisheries, 59 right. million pounds. Big boats don't lend themselves well to farmers market situation, and there's rules and regulations in the state about splitting your load. Mm-hmm. Actually, most of the problem you run into in fisheries lays in the way we've formed the regulations. Mm-hmm. If you're going to have a discussion on that, now you can talk about tuna or salmon or a couple of the little fisheries, but you get into the volume fisheries, you've got to have a discussion with the Department of Fish and Wildlife. There's a bunch of major changes, like in the trawl fishery and IFQs, mm-hmm. which we don't even understand yet, but the assessment is there. The fisherman's being assessed for every pound of fish and the bycatch aboard now. But a lot of that has to be returned, it seems like to me, could be under this IFQ system landed, because he's already assessed it, and to return that to the ocean if it's already dead doesn't make much sense. Right. So there's opportunities, but if you're going to have that discussion, you need to bring in the regulators, because they're what stops a lot of the ability for fisheries to work on a local level. Mm-hmm. I know I struggle all the time with wanting to split loads and can't, even on a small boat, can't split them.
Sure. To address some of the things, I agree about that. One of the things that the community food assessment, kind of the focus of it is what is possible here. You know, we have an industrial food system that brings in food from many places, and that will always remain. These assessments aren't really to try and replace that model at all, but it's saying, you know, with those smaller fisheries where it works, what can we do right now, or with food, what can we do, and where is there some potential, and then hopefully maybe through the long term being able to change some of those regulations and address what are some of the issues like you mentioned. Thank you for bringing up the port. I had heard about the feasibility study, but didn't know where it had gone. And then the other really great thing, what makes Lincoln County so unique is because it is the smallest agricultural county in our state. But with that said, there's a lot of potential for small farms. We do have a history of our farms in our area and homesteading. And I think what's really cool about that and about this sponsorship with Ten Rivers Food Web is this is actually being done in both Linn and Benton County here at the same time. So we're going to have a kind of a region look at what how we can share these resources, because there are certain things from the valley that comes. But at the feast, we are going to be talking a little bit more, because a lot of our farmers in our area completely agree that some things need to come from our valley and do that. But we also want to strengthen what we can do here and that potential. If you talk to Randy Walker, he's pretty passionate about saying, we can do anything here in Lincoln County. And I think that's a fun thing to explore. Yeah, thank you.
Great, thank you.